You are listening to Up to Me Radio, the best in inspirational talk radio. It's up to me.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know.
Time to put the happy back into the holidays. I'm Allie, the host of There Is Life After Layoff, and it is always a pleasure to be your guide as I continue to follow this path in my journey of rediscovery and empowerment after being laid off. There Is Life After Layoff is a vision from God, and it is my very transparent journey of facing my own truths without placing blame as I continue to grow professionally and spiritually while walking in my life's purpose. Now, together with the support of my contributing co-hosts and special guests who help to guide the conversation, our goal is to then encourage and empower you to push past the fear in your life as you explore new and inspiring opportunities to discover your life's purpose. In doing so, together we will support one another through this journey. That is why I invite you to tune in on the conversation with us on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Up to Me Radio website at up2meradio.com. So with that said, thank you for listening and for joining us as we share with you our insights into issues related to not only the experience of being laid off, but also related to other life-altering events. Now, of course, you know that this platform works because of you, our faithful listeners. You are the ones to help to drive this show. So we always want to hear from you. And tonight's topic is so important. So we especially want to hear from you and for you to share your thoughts. So if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, I invite you to call in at 347-324-5246 and then press the number 1. But please remember, you only have to press 1 if you want to be added into the on-air host queue to make a comment or to ask my guest a question. And we'll generally begin taking your calls right after our break at around 7:30, but you're more than welcome to call in earlier if you so desire to do that. My guest and I are certainly looking forward to hearing from you. So now we're ready to kind of jump into the show tonight. And I can't say this enough because I firmly believe that I am so blessed and I am so grateful that God has allowed me to use this platform and to be a vessel of change in the lives of others through it. And tonight, of course, is no different because my guest and I, we want to bring about a spirit of change in you and in doing so, help you to put some of the happy back into your holiday season. But before I introduce my guest, I want to give a quick shout out to public relations professional Ms. Val Johnson. I hope you're tuning in, Val. She is the founder of Assage Communications. I wanted to say thank you to her again, because she has allowed me to meet some of the most inspiring and uplifting people of purpose. And so she was the person who actually introduced me to tonight's guest back in May, and she has been on the show before, and she was a big hit. So, of course, I would want to welcome her back. So thank you for that, Val. My guest tonight, she has such a heart to inspire women, especially to reclaim their power and embrace their truth and to design their own destiny. And I can certainly go on about her and her heart, but I don't want to take away from the show. So it is certainly without further ado that I ask you to join me in welcoming back to There Is Life After Layoff radio show, Dr. Carlia East. She is a clinical psychotherapist, an empowerment speaker, a licensed mental health counselor, and an author of the powerful book, The Hangover. Thank you for joining me once again, Dr. East.
Thank you so much. I am so happy to be back. We always have good conversations, so I am looking forward to bringing some light to this subject and giving these ladies a few nuggets that they can take
Absolutely.
With them.
Absolutely. It is certainly my pleasure to have you joining me once again. And you know what they say, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So you know what? You'll be back again.
Yes, ma'am. Looking forward to it, for sure.
Absolutely. But before we get into the heart of the conversation, please take a moment to remind our listeners about who you are by sharing a little bit about yourself.
Okay. So I am Dr. Carlia East, licensed mental health counselor. I am the founder and CEO of Smile Psychology and Associates, which is a mental health counseling practice here located in the Tampa Bay area. I am also the CEO and founder of the Sapphire Woman organization, which is strictly geared for ladies. And so there I provide a lot of coaching, workshops, seminars, private events, things of that nature, education classes. It's really about empowering our women to, as you stated, you know, my hashtag or tagline, reclaim your power, embrace your truth, and design your destiny. I also am a full-time tenured professor at St. Petersburg College, in which I love teaching psychology there, and I am also the director of their mental health programming college-wide, as well as the author of The Hangover, Overcoming Emotional Addiction, which focuses on relationships and how we tend to keep bouncing back or boomeranging back to the same relationship or the same prototype or friendship, and why we just can't get that person out of our system, and why are they still having an impact on us when we haven't seen them in 3 years.
Right.
So it really takes, you know, it really takes the reader through 12 steps of reaching emotional sobriety, and it is inclusive. And what I mean by that is for women that love men and women that love women, because I love people. And so I wanted to definitely bring that message. And then last but not least, I am a wife and a mother. And just all those things is what drives me every single day. I am passionate about women, and if I don't, if I talk about it, that means I've experienced. You know, I'm one of those psychologists that is not going to give you a sheet of paper and say, complete this and return it to me.
Right.
I'm not going to give you textbook answers. I'm going to come from a very real, organic, authentic place, because through my experiences and my testimony, I am able to inspire, encourage, or to prevent, you know, harm coming to anyone's way, then that is my purpose on this earth.
Right. So what you do is you give life answers. You don't give textbooks. You give life answers.
Exactly. I tell them, I tell people straight up, y'all ready for some therapy and color? You know, yes, I'm melanin, but, you know, we talking technicolor.
Right, because
you know, people, it's hard enough for individuals to reach out for help, especially when there's not someone that looks like them sitting from across the room. And then the other component is I'm revealing my most intimate secrets with you. The last thing I want you to do is looking at a clipboard and taking notes. You know, I need you to be present. And I need answers. And
Absolutely.
So I try to come straight from the hip and provide that with a lot of love and a lot of hope.
Wow, that's great. That's great. So now we're ready to jump into this topic this evening. Here we are in the midst of the holiday season. And
yes, ma'am.
So we have, you know, I felt it in my spirit that we really need to tackle this topic, and that is talking about what we call, quote unquote, the holiday blues. So can you tell us what are the holiday blues and what are some causes of the holiday blues?
Okay, so basically holiday blues, or as we call them, seasonal blues, often occurs during any type of major holiday season. Now, we see it mostly during, you know, Thanksgiving, Christmas, and New Year's, because they're so back-to-back.
Right.
And oftentimes people don't have a break, you know, from that to kind of regroup and reset, as I call it. And so when most people think of the holidays, indeed they do think of family, you know, celebration, reconnecting, spending time with friends, but it's also a huge amount of stress and anxiety, depression, and even frustration that falls on our laps, partly because of the responsibilities and obligations that many times we are creating for ourselves, or things that we have created or expectations that we've created for others to have for us. And so some of the common characteristics that people deal with seasonal blues would be more tired than usual, more lethargic. They usually lose some interest in things that once brought them joy, difficult concentrating, as I call it, a short fuse or low frustration, you know, low tolerance for frustration.
Mm-hmm.
And just general overall, you just aggravated, you know,
mm-hmm.
you're just annoyed.
Right, right.
In most spaces, there's more traffic during that time. And the regular commute to work, which took you 15 minutes, now takes you 25 minutes. And so that's annoying. Or, you know, the shift in weather, which changes the sun and the amount of vitamin D that we're getting from the sun, especially if you're in places where there's snowy or rainy. A lot of times it's overcast, so you're not getting that natural vitamin D that helps us to find energy and encouragement. We're also reminded about how much we just don't have. And I think that is really difficult to deal with. You know, yes, we want to celebrate. Yes, we want to have our kids and our family members open gifts, but many of us are not in a financial space to where we have flexible income to do those things. And so we find ourselves getting into debt. We find ourselves feeling guilty that we're unable to afford certain items, and then that puts us in a slump. And so we have a lot of these societal expectations about what the holidays is supposed to be, and really what they're not focusing on is the fact that, you know, love, support, commitment, humbleness, you know, these are words or titles that are not necessarily preached about as they should be, and I think it gets lost in translation.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think it does get lost in translation.
I know one of the things that we try to stress to our kids, it's not about the gifts. But what I'm trying to do, you know, I have a 16-year-old and a 10-year-old. My 16-year-old is used to doing community service because she's been in Girl Scouts, and so that's just part of what she does.
Absolutely.
My 10-year-old is at the age now where it's like, okay, dude, you need to start giving back and doing some community service. So I've been trying to find projects for him because I'm telling them, you guys are so blessed.
Right.
You have a mommy and daddy who can do this, that, and the other for you, but there's some kids who don't have that luxury, who don't have parents who can afford to give them everything that they put on their wish list or their Christmas list. So, you know, it's about giving back more than it is about getting. So that's what my shift is has been for this season, to focus on, you know, giving back. And would you think that, you know, by parents maybe trying to make that kind of a shift could kind of help in not perpetuating the same cycle, I guess, as they get older?
I mean, absolutely. You know, my kiddo is 3.5 years old, and I'm very honest with him, the fact that Santa, mommy, daddy, and the whole village buys him gifts. Okay.
Oh, you know what? I didn't want to say that. I didn't want to bust nobody's bubble who was tuning in.
Oh, I just busted. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
My kids for years know that that there's no man coming down the chimney.
Yeah,
that's,
we don't even
mama
have a chimney.
And daddy.
So, first of all, how you go get in? Okay, and I set the security and the alarm. But you know, my thing is, I'm not a dream killer. I believe in make believe. You know, I do believe in fairies. I'm definitely one of those adults that watches cartoons, and I still love the Never Ending Story. Like, don't have me go there.
Right.
I also want my child to have a sense of fantasy, but also understand what reality is.
Exactly.
And so we do have that conversation. But what what my husband and I also talk to him about is, listen, you're going to get X amount of gifts, and per gift that you get, you will donate X amount of gifts to another child that does not have as much as you do. You know, and he understands it because, first of all, it's not an option, you know.
right.
So that's easy to understand.
Right.
But no, really, he does get it because we allow him to pick the toys that he wants to donate. So he's a part of that decision process. And we have a very candid conversation with him about little boys and girls that are less fortunate than he is, that aren't able to have anything under the tree, don't even have a tree, you know, so really bringing that reality. And I think what parents have to realize is that when we have candid conversations with our children, once they're able to comprehend, which is usually around age three, to be perfectly honest, if they can learn to manipulate, they can learn to manner.
Right.
And so when we have these conversations, it does take the pressure off of the parent, because now you may have a more mindful child.
There you go.
You may have a child that is now more aware that, you know what, mom and dad are on a budget, you know, or grandma's on a budget, and so let me pick, you know, two really cheap things that I want and then one maybe pricey thing.
Right.
And that's what I teach a lot of my parents to do. Allow your child to give you three things on the list, two inexpensive or one pricey, or have them make two lists, you know, a $10 and below list and a $25 and up list.
Right.
And, you know that they're not going to get everything on their list, but they'll get maybe one or two items, you know, from each list. And I think that that's just a healthy way of letting children know you're not entitled to everything.
That's it. I was going to mention
that. It also helps the parent to stay within a budget that they are aware that they have. And it also teaches that child a bit of humility and, and understanding of the family dynamics. And what you will find is that understanding tends to trickle throughout the rest of the year. So that way you don't have scuffles on birthdays. You know, you don't have to worry about back-to-school shopping being a hot mess, because this child is very aware that there are financial limitations and that there are financial priorities. And so it is important to have general conversations with your kids about that.
Right. So let's talk about, okay, I don't know if people, my listeners, have heard of seasonal affective disorder, or otherwise known as SAD.
SAD.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Can you explain a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so I'll explain the professional psychology part, and then I will break it down to everyday people, okay?
Okay.
So seasonal affective disorder is basically a state of anxiety and depression whose onset happens to occur during winter months or changes in the season.
So
for those that live up north, you have the foliage that begins to change. Again, rainy season, snowy season, snow days, rainy days, lack of vitamin D, and individuals begin to go into these kind of deep depressions at that time of the season. Again, we're already looking at the holidays being that time where we're reminded of the loved ones that we've lost, monies we don't have, maybe goals that we set out for the new year, you know, those, I'm using air quotes, those good old New Year's resolutions, you know, that we haven't been able to get to all year. So we have reminders of all that, plus the differences in the climate, and that is really what brings on seasonal affective disorder. But let me break it down into everyday people terms.
Okay.
So I live in Florida. We don't have seasons. We have summer and hot as a mother. That is two seasons.
Right,
those
about
are
that.
The seasons that we have, okay? Like right now, it's 60, maybe 58 degrees outside, and I got on my boots with the fur because I'm a Floridian, so don't judge me, and a scarf because I'm cold. So we don't necessarily have a change in season, but what we do have are moments that have happened in our lives that mark changes in our season. So, for instance, if your mother is no longer with you and Mother's Day comes up, you may experience a little bit of SAD, right?
Gotcha.
A little bit of seasonal affective disorder. No, it's not the holiday or winter season, but for you,
but
that is a season of
season,
difficulty.
Right, that's the
exactly.
season of difficulty. Gotcha, that makes sense.
Right, or, you know, any type of trauma or loss that has happened throughout the year, you will find that individuals will start to feel sensitive about it as it approaches. Prime example, my husband lost his brother during the month of August. And so usually around July, there's a little shift. You know, mid-July, a little shift in his emotions. He's a little bit more sensitive to things, you know, a little bit more snippy, and I understand that. And then once the date actually passes, he goes through what I call recovery.
Okay.
You know, the end of August where he kind of gets his bounce back. you know, his pep in his step.
Right.
And so that, to me, is seasonal. Now, it is not defined that way in the textbook, but I'm on
that's
the ground,
good.
Not in pages, right?
There
and
you
so
go.
I understand that people transition in and out of their own personal seasons
yes.
throughout the year. And so basically those sensitive times that we may be more emotional, more frustrated, less patient,
yeah.
you know, those are those seasonal shifts for us.
That makes a lot of sense because I have a seasonal shift around September, October. I lost my brother and my dad and my mom in those months. And
right.
Most recently, just in 2017, was my dad and my brother. And so I don't like October. Let's just say that.
Right.
I don't
absolutely.
Like October.
Yeah.
And I mean, you know, that's just – and now I know that's that season for me where I'm going to be feeling a little melancholy or a little sad even, and that's
yeah.
why, because it reminds me of the loss of those people
right.
who meant so much to me.
Right. And what
you know?
I try to get people to think about during the holidays specifically, and in all those seasons, really, it's fluid, is we live in a society to where we often are taught to – memorialize individuals based upon their date of death.
Mm-hmm.
And we forget about the, you know, 40 million days they had up until their death.
Very good point. Yes.
You know
I
what I
it.
Mean?
Yeah.
I know people that celebrate, you know, the death of this person or this is my mom's birthday, but she's passed on. And it's like, okay, well, what about celebrating that time that mom attempted that recipe and it was a hot mess?
Yeah.
What about celebrating that time where Uncle such and such surprised us, you know, at the family cookout? What about
mm-hmm.
celebrating, you know, there's so much life. That person that you are mourning is not just a beginning and ending date.
Right. Very good.
There is so okay. much in between that if we reflect on those in betweens,
mm-hmm.
it allows us to smile through our tears
yeah.
in
yeah.
those moments of loss.
Yeah. And you know,
so
during
I just
those
to
times, I think
that because that's
yeah,
so important.
It is, and it's to your point. It's during those times that my kids they kind of know what I'm feeling, and so
mm-hmm.
then you know, my son he's very very intuitive and tuned into what I'm feeling, and he'll sit down and he'll say, "Mommy, tell me about Grandma Mary," because he actually has never had the opportunity to meet her. She passed
uh-huh.
away before he you know was born, but. You know, so then that'll get me talking, and then I'll start sharing some funny things about her and this, that,
mm-hmm.
and the other. So that kind of helps. So, you know, my baby kind of helps bring me out of that.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And that's that communication with your kids as well.
Yes.
You know, yes, our kids are young, but they are aware. They
uh-huh.
know our emotions. As much
uh-huh.
as we try to hide them, they came from our wounds. You know,
yeah.
they were made with our DNA. They know when we're in a bad space. If I'm in a
yeah.
space where I just am over it, my little three-year-old will walk up to me and say, "Mommy, are you frustrated?" And I'm like, "What?" And I'll say, "Yes, baby, Mommy's frustrated."
Yeah.
And he will rub my leg and go, "Mommy,
oh,
it's okay.
Sweet.
Sometimes I get frustrated, too."
That is so sweet.
Now, what you going to do with that?
Right, I know. Right?
Not
you
be frustrated,
not
after that.
Exactly. But that's funny because today I was sitting here having a moment. I don't know what look I might have had on my face, and my son says, "Mommy, do you need a hug?"
Right.
And I said,
yeah.
always I need a hug.
Yeah.
Yes, absolutely. So, you know, when this type of sadness that we've been talking about turns
mm-hmm.
into being more than quote the holiday blues and
right.
You know something that can be when does it turn into something that can actually be diagnosed
okay.
as depression?
Okay, so when do you know that it's a little bit deeper?
Yeah, when it's a little
seasonal.
Deeper. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So some of the things that I look for is frequency and duration. That's a kind of a staple for many clinicians. You know, date of onset, when did it begin? You know, duration, how long did the period last? So if you're saying you're feeling depressed, how long did that depression cycle last?
Mm-hmm.
Frequency, how frequently do you have these cycles? And then lastly, intensity. you know, scale of 1 to 10, are you completely debilitated, do you have to take off from work, you know, just those things. So those are some things that I look at. But the easy everyday people terminology, so to speak, is this interrupting your ability to live, laugh, and love? And when I put it like that, it's very easy for people to make that distinction. You know, is this interrupting your ability to live, i.e. go about your daily routine? If you normally got up every day at that particular time and worked out or called a girlfriend or had lunch with her every Friday, if you're no longer doing that, that's interrupting your ability to live. You know, is it interrupting your ability to laugh? Are you no longer enjoying the things that you used to enjoy, things that used to bring you happiness or humor or, you know, where you would just fall on the floor with laughter? Are you now just kind of stuck? You know, you hear it, but it's very muted to you. You know, there's no emotion evoking. And then love. Have you stopped loving yourself through this process? Have you stopped loving or finding love for others through this process? Again, are you not doing those self-care things that you used to do? Are you binge eating on a more consistent basis? Are you using other tactics like binge shopping or alcohol or substances or promiscuous behaviors? You know, all of these addictive things that we tend to gravitate to distract us from some of the things that we're feeling. Are you completely overwhelming and engulfing yourself in work because you don't want to face reality? Are you taking on tons of projects? You know, those things. And so if you've answered yes, you know, to any of those for a substantial period of time, you know, at least 3 months, I look at, especially with the holiday season being about two of those, right? So if you still have a third month, you know, by the end of January, if you are still in this slump, that doesn't mean, let me be clear, that doesn't mean that you need to be diagnosed with anything. What that means is that you're now presenting with characteristics associated with either depression, anxiety, or what have you. And so for me, I am not a quick person to diagnose. Everyone comes in with a situational issue as far as I'm concerned. And I try to treat them organically and holistically in all areas, whether it's herbals or aromatherapy or exercise or what have you, as well as talk therapy to help see them through. And if at that point we're still at a stumbling block, then there may be a chemical change. You know, in the way that the brain and the body is functioning, and therefore we have a diagnosis. But I think sometimes people just go through stuff.
Just because
you go through stuff doesn't mean that you need to pop a pill for it.
Or
it doesn't mean that you need to be ashamed about it. You know, grief is a huge component of seasonal blues. Grief is. You know, most families only come together during the holidays. Like, really think about how the traditions, I want to get into that a little bit, how traditions play a role in your emotional state during the holidays. So if your family is traditional, like most, you know, most families are, and they get together around the table during Thanksgiving, around the table during Christmas Eve or Christmas Day dinner, and then again on New Year's Day dinner, there is a constant reminder that someone's not sitting at that table. There's also the issue of you being next to someone that you really don't like, and they're your relative. And you like, listen, I'm not putting up with Auntie Mabel today. Like, I can't do her. I can't do her, nor can I know her, her dog, her ankles. I can't. I think, and somebody got Auntie Mabel that I just described. But, you know, I think it's important to recognize that we need to, if I may go into some tips, we need to redefine what the holiday looks like. Traditions are great, but that doesn't mean that you can't create new ones.
There you go.
That doesn't mean that you can't select when it's time for you to spend time with your family. You're allowed to choose time with your family and not feel guilty about it. Give yourself permission not to spend all of your time in an environment that is going to be unhealthy for you.
There you go.
Because
that's
all
good.
Families are not peaceful. Some families
right.
can be very critical. They
mm-hmm.
can be very judgmental. And you could go in there with, you know, being totally excited, being happy, and then before you know it, you're drinking up all the spiked eggnog because you can't deal with the negativity.
There you go. That's
and
a good
I used
point.
To be that person, and that's why
wow,
I speak about it.
Good.
I was that individual that was very traditional. I cooked the traditional dishes, and I went to all the traditional events, and I came home with a traditional annoyance, you know, with the negativity, with an anger towards that family member, or feeling like I was not being
your
literally lessening
self,
how
right.
I felt about myself. Yes.
Right.
Because of other people. And what you'll find is that those individuals that are so negative, they actually are just jealous. Even
oops.
Family.
Oops.
Even
you stepped on
family.
Some toes at that one.
Yeah. You know, family members get jealous. Family members, you know, sometimes are not happy about their situation, and therefore they don't really know how to celebrate yours. And
right.
so you can make that choice of discernment about how much time you spend. I call it the sandwich technique, okay? So if I know I have to be around someone that is not highly favored in my mind, then the first thing I do is something fun to get me ready for that person. You know what I mean?
Right.
And then afterwards, I usually will meet up with another friend of mine that I do enjoy spending time with, because my last, my last interaction in that day, I don't want it to be with someone negative.
There you go. That's good. That's a good.
I
tactic.
Want it to be with someone positive, and so I will sandwich my time with family members.
That's good.
You know,
that's
so
good.
That I am having some positivity on the back end. So when I walk into my home, I'm bringing all that good laughter, and then I've also had a chance to vent to that friend.
Right.
About whatever situation took place, you know, at my family's house.
Wow, that's good. That's good. You
know
what?
You
know,
yeah.
Dr. East, I don't want to cut you off, but let's pause
sure.
and take a short station break, and
okay.
then when we return, we'll continue with this great conversation, okay? So just hang in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, because I've got
some
more tips.
I know. I want to hear all of it, too. So thank you for tuning in. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show with my special guest, clinical psychotherapist, speaker, and author, Dr. Carlia East. Please stay tuned.
The average time a resume spends on an HR manager's desk is 7 seconds, and most of them are tossed aside. Now imagine if one of those resumes belonged to Yasmin, who was
living in a shelter, juggling 3 jobs. I had to be resilient. That's something that you can't teach.
We rely so much on a resume, yet it could never tell the full story of someone who
had to be independent and take initiative, and that's how I handle every project I get.
Discover new ways to develop great talent at gradsoflife.org, brought to you by Grads of Life and the Ad Council.
All right, we're back. If you're just joining us, welcome, and you're listening to There Is Life After Layoff radio show at uptomeradio.com. I'm your host, Allie, and we encourage you to join us at 7 to 8 p.m. on the second and fourth Tuesday of each month. And please continue to follow me on my blog at thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you want to be a part of tonight's conversation, it's not too late. You could call us at 347-324-5246 and make sure that you press the number 1 to be added into the on-air host queue. We're going to pick up where we left off with my special guest tonight, Dr. Carlia East. We have been having a wonderful conversation, Dr.
Mm-hmm.
East. So you wanted to share some tips with us before the break?
Yes.
Okay.
So I did talk about, you know, redefining what the holiday looks like as far as traditions,
mm-hmm.
you know, creating your own traditions. Also giving yourself responsibility or the permission, rather, to choose time with family. So I have a few more. And, you know, this is the one that I love, embrace the power of no.
Oh, girl.
I think that what people get misconstrued when it comes to the holidays is that they have to go beyond the extra mile because it's the holiday season. I don't do that. I'm already going the extra mile and somebody else's miles throughout the year.
Right.
I mean, and when we really think about what we've done all year, if we really reflect on how many meals we cooked for others, how many ears we lended to others, you know, how many times we donated, you know, to some random person or
mm-hmm.
gave away clothing or any of those, you know, any of those things, supported a charity, you know, any of those things throughout the year,
mm-hmm.
you have already been consistent with your giving and your community. And so give yourself a break to say no, especially say no to the holiday hoarders, right? The people that only pop up on the holidays and want something. Say no.
Yes, ma'am.
Like, I
yes,
haven't seen
ma'am.
You all year. We have not corresponded. You didn't come to my wedding. We, you know what I mean? You didn't wish me happy birthday on Facebook. None of that.
None of that.
And now you want to pop up as a holiday hoarder and you want me to buy you and whoever else a gift? No, ma'am. I'm not going to
be able to do that. No, ma'am. No, sir. Can't do it.
So it's really about remembering that when you say no to others, you're really saying yes to yourself.
That's
and
true.
Not forgetting to invest in self during the holidays because it's your holiday too.
Right.
Next
is such a powerful word, and
it's
such a freeing word, too.
It is, and at first when you say it, it's kind of like you'd be like, no. But then when you get to my level, you'd be like, nope.
Can't do it.
Real quick. Uh-uh. Can't do it. Nope. Yeah, you get real southern with it. Nope.
Nope.
You know, just because, think about it, when you say yes to everybody, think about it, when someone comes to you and asks you, oh, could you do this, you know why they're asking you? Because they have already stretched themselves out to the limit, because they didn't
say no. So now they want to try to stretch you out.
Right. And so you have to maintain those boundaries during the holiday season, or you will spend your holiday running around for other people.
Right. That's good.
You know?
That's good. Right.
Next, you have to create a support squad. And my support squad, you know, is a list about maybe, I got about 5 crew members, you know, outside of my husband and my mom, you know. So I've got like 5 crew members. And these are the women where we have an understanding. Like, I may randomly call you about some foolishness. I don't need backup or bail money. I just need to tell you about this nonsense that took place today. And we support each other
in that
process.
Right.
You know, and
that's
we
so
have
funny.
Each other's backs in that process. Yeah, you have to have a support squad. You have to have a crew of people that you can, you know, chime into for an hour maybe at the end of the week and just let go.
Yes. With no
judgment.
You need
that space.
With no judgment. That's key.
These
people are the ones that you can let yourself be, just be who you are. In that moment, and they're not going to judge you for it or hold it against you.
That's right. And so when I talk to my ladies about their squads or their crews or people that they have, you know, in around their spheres, I talk to them about making sure that these are people that you can be authentic with and organic with and transparent with. Because if you have to censor certain things that you say to this particular person, or change the way you would say it because this person is going to judge you, this is not a core person. I'm not saying that this is not an important person.
Oh, my goodness.
But this is not a core person.
You got to be real careful with that. That's a good one. That's such a critical one right there because, you know, in my journey, I've kind of learned how to figure out who I have to walk on eggshells around and who I can say what to without them getting offended and this, that, and the other.
Right.
And so it's very important that you determine who is who.
Yes. Yes, because everyone, you know, I tell people, imagine that you are the planet Saturn.
Mm-hmm.
And Saturn has, you know, all these rings.
Mm-hmm.
around it,
mm-hmm.
and you're the core,
mm-hmm.
and there's only so many people that you're going to let in that core, but others need to be placed strategically on those rings,
mm-hmm.
and some will be placed at the furthest ring, and some will be placed more closely to you, and as you orbit and they circle you, you will find that there may be some movement in where you want to place these people, but you are the core. You are the nucleus, and those individuals that are part of your nucleus have to share that same unconditional, non-judgmental, positive regard, love, and support for you as you would for them.
Right. I call
and
that
so
my heart
circle. And so creating a support
circle.
Squad is key. Yeah.
Yeah, I call it my heart circle. And
absolutely.
I don't let everybody into that. Not that I don't love people on the outskirts of the circle, but that heart circle are, you know, the folks that I know are there get down and dirty with you.
Yes, absolutely. We'll check you and then hug you.
That's right. And that's critical right there because you need to be checked from time to time. But these are those people that you could take that checking from and know that they come from a place of love.
Absolutely.
You know, without you feeling some kind of way about it.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, just really investing your time. And some of us just need to really sit down and make a list of who that is.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, and I think that is a part of the seasonal blues right there, is getting your circle defined.
Oh, wow.
Because then
good.
You know where your go-tos are, you know, and you know where the people are that have your back, and then you also know how to position others and how to position yourself to deal with others, you know, in that way. My next tip would be beware of your quick fixes. And what I mean by that is for you to be aware of your go-tos when you are in your feelings. So my go-to is food. I just tell you straight up. I am an emotional eater. When I go through things, I eat my feelings. And, you know, food, of course, you know, and I'm not the healthiest person on the planet. Don't get me wrong. There's no keto over here. However, I do indulge, but I would go a little bit extra, you know, because the food gave me this, you know, satiated feeling, and, you know, I was full and stuffed, and, you know, and that gave me a feeling of comfort until it wore off. And so just being aware of your quick fixes. Is it food, alcohol, sex? Is it shopping? You know, any of those things. Is it gambling? Is it, you know, working out at the gym overtime? Because that is also an addiction, people.
Yeah. Okay.
You know, is it any of those things that you're obsessively doing so that you don't have to deal with the real stuff? And the key is that you don't want your regrets to interrupt your celebration.
Right. Right.
You know, the holiday season should not, you know, January 2nd or 1st should not be the hangover part 8. You know what I mean? You should not be sitting there like, woe is me, Lord, have mercy. You know, what did I buy?
What did I drink?
Yeah, what did I do? What did I say? Oh, Lord. You know, you don't want that.
Then that turns into a whole other thing of depression, you know?
Yeah.
And guilt.
Right, and bills.
Right,
added on. So, you know, just being aware of what those quick fixes are for you and outline them now. Outline what your go-to unhealthy habits have been in the past so that you can start putting healthy habits in place of that. You know, so because I know I'm an emotional eater, what I've done is pretty much stocked my pantry with the opposite of holiday goodies. So I have a bunch of nuts and dried fruit and fresh fruit because I love fresh fruit and things of that nature because I'm a sugar girl. I like, you know, I'm sweet. And so that helps me when I maybe have had a stress day and I want to go and get that double cheeseburger or I want to go get that, but then I want to go tomorrow and the next day and the next day, you know, so it helps me to kind of keep a balance. Doesn't mean I don't indulge in those things, but it helps me to keep a balance. I'm not saying don't have a drink. I'm not saying don't be intimate or
don't
go
overindulge.
Shopping. Exactly. Recognize when you're doing it for the opportunity to engage in it because you want to, or when you're doing it because you need a self-esteem pick me up.
Oh, wow. Okay. That's a that was a nail that you hit on the head.
Yeah. Yeah,
wow.
So just kind of, you know, what's your purpose, right?
Yes.
Are you using this to validate you, or are you doing this because you just want to add a little bit more sparkle to your life? Those are two different things.
That's right, that's right. But, you know, we have so much content here, and I know we're not going to get to all of it, but there's one particular point that I want to talk have you talk about because it's so prevalent now in society, we oftentimes hear that suicide is more common during the holiday season. And we've turned on the news and we've seen so and heard so many stories of people taking their own lives, celebrities and just regular
mm-hmm.
people. So talk
mm-hmm.
a little bit about that. And, you know, is this a true statement or is it a myth?
It is a true statement. However, there are some caveats that
okay.
That I feel, this is speaking from my experience,
okay.
That I feel play a role into suicide being inflamed during
mm-hmm.
the holiday season. So we've talked about seasonal affective disorder, and we've
mm-hmm.
talked about what the holiday season represents, losses, how much money you don't have, goals you haven't accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
And so all of that is really compounded by the holiday season. We know we broke in August.
Right.
You know, like you know that you're balling on a budget in
mm-hmm,
August.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And then in December, it is just blown to infinite proportions. Every commercial.
Yes.
Every expectation.
Mm.
And so now where gift giving throughout the year was, if I have it, I'll get it. During the holiday season, we take it as a personal failure. If we are unable to provide that type of holiday fantasy that is depicted often on TV and in social media. And I think that when you have individuals that, despite their best efforts, are still feeling that loss, and it seems like everyone around them has rosy cheeks, you know, and is happy. And they can't find their happy in that holiday season.
Mm-hmm.
There is a feeling of what's the point? There
wow.
is a feeling of this feels like hell to me, so what
mm-hmm.
can be worse than this? There
right.
is a feeling of I am unworthy or unfit to even be here. So, or I am causing so much heartache and pain or headaches. Right, annoyance.
Right.
To my other family and friends, I know they're tired of me. You know, I know they're tired of this.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to do them a favor. Sometimes, you know, individuals that follow through with suicide is not about, it's so not about them taking the easy way out. And that
mm-hmm.
irks me when I hear people say that, you know. Oh,
yeah.
they cop out. You know, they took the easy way out. Let me tell you.
It wasn't easy. It's not easy.
It is not easy for
mm-hmm.
to feel that you are worthless.
Right.
If any one of you listening has ever felt worthless before or defeated before, that is not an easy or simple feeling or emotion. That is something that stays with you and eats you to your core.
Right.
And individuals that are suffering throughout the year, the suffrage is almost compounded throughout the holiday seasons. And this is why you have organizations like Toys for Tots and Food Pantries and CASA and NAMI and all of these organizations, including grassroots organizations that are doing so many fundraisers and are collecting donations because they want to put the happy back into these individuals' holidays.
Right.
And give them a sense of community.
Yeah.
Give them a sense of belonging, a sense of normalcy. And so if there is someone that you know that is suffering from despair and the holiday season approaches, we have to be more mindful to wrap our arms around the wagon, around these individuals. You are not responsible for their decision, let me say that. And, yes, sometimes you may not have had a clue. How could I have not known?
Right.
They didn't want you to, sweetheart. That is a very
they're good at hiding
possibility.
It.
Right. But all you can do on your end is be as supportive and positive as you can within your own boundaries.
Right.
That's all you can do. And so to me, that is why suicide is such at a high at that particular area in life, particularly for men. We see it a lot higher during the holidays because of the whole, you know, stereotypical head of household.
Right.
You know, father type of situation, and maybe they don't feel like they're living up to those expectations. And so there's external and internal pressure.
Mm-hmm.
you know, all we can do is what we do, and that's to provide hope, healing, and happiness to those that are around us and hope that that manifests and trickulates on.
Right.
You know, hopes that everybody takes a they can drink that Kool-Aid. That's all right. You
right.
know, and really know that they are loved. And for anyone that's listening, if you are feeling, you know, that you have been defeated or that you are worthless or not worthy, I am telling you that you are worth everything.
Yeah.
I am telling you that you deserve to be here. There is a space in
yeah.
this life for you.
Yeah.
You were designed for. You may need some help finding what your purpose is, but there is a mission for you. There is a path for you, and you don't have to wait for the new year to start in order for you to start revealing the new you.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have to wait for anyone to give you permission to be great, to be worth something. Because you breathe in his air, baby, you are worth everything.
Absolutely.
And it is not a weakness for you to reach out for help. It is a strength because you are now taking power back in your life and choosing to design your destiny and not let the fate of your life be determined by society's manipulations
mm-hmm.
and tangible monetary values.
Amen. There are no accidental
lives. You are worth
lives.
Everything.
There are no
That's
accidental
right.
lives.
That's right.
So with that said, can you, because we're quickly running out of time. I hate that. We're running out of time. We're going to have to
That's
come back and revisit
awesome.
This again.
Time
you
just
know.
Speeds up.
I know it does. Can you share with us, first of all, some community resources for somebody who may be tuning in, who may need to reach out for some help, who may be dealing with something more than the holiday blues, and also how can we connect and follow you? Because I know you have a wonderful monthly newsletter, so how can we be a part of that?
Okay. So as far as the resources, the first thing that I would recommend is 211.org, which is one of the mainstays in our community. Basically, 211.org will connect you. You just put in your zip code, and it will connect you to resources that are in your area.
Okay.
And
Wonderful.
So you can easily, you know, contact them, and they will provide you with resources. If you also have a BayCare, BayCare.org, if BayCare is located in your area, they are very similar to 211.org, in which they also can connect you to resources, whether it's the food pantry, help for your with your bill paying, even connect you with places that will have toy drives, you know, so that you can be able to get those items. I would also check into with local shelters. Those two places will give you that information as well. But tap into your local churches and shelters. They normally do food pantry and clothing drives during the holidays to help out with individuals that are less fortunate. I also want to make sure that we know the National Suicide Prevention Hotline number, or Lifeline as we call it. It is 1-800-273-8255. These are just some, you know, very organic and national, right, organizations that you can tap into for some resources in your local communities.
Right.
Now, if you want to tap into your girl,
right,
you can find me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I have two handles. One handle is for my clinical practice, which is at Dr. East Smile LLC. So that's at DREAST Smile LLC. If you are interested in my coaching or me coming out and speaking on in women empowerment issues, that is my at The Sapphire Woman handle. So it's at The Sapphire Woman. Also, please feel free, if ever you need anything, to email me at thesapphirewoman.com. I am always, or the Sapphire Woman, I'm sorry, info at thesapphirewoman.com, right? You got so many freaking
right,
emails.
Right, right, right.
Just Google me, child. Y'all will find me. You know, I'm right here. And it's just so important that we really start taking our power now and really start investing in self-love and self-care. As you mentioned, I do a newsletter called Purpose, which comes out once a month. And so you can go to any of my websites, smilepsychology.com, and sign up for that, or you can go to thesapphirewoman.com and sign up on my email list. And once you're on my email list, you will get my monthly newsletter, and I'm covering topics from holiday blues to domestic violence, words pack a punch, to, you know, body image, to being sexually empowered. I'm not promiscuous. I'm just strong in my sexuality. You know, these are all the things that I talk about monthly, and I encourage your listeners, drop me a line. If there's something that you want me to tackle, I usually do a vlog every Friday that I post. And if there's a topic that you want me to tackle, please let me know so that I can tackle it, because you are not alone in this. Half of the things you are experiencing, I've gone through or known someone very close to me that has. And my job is not to get paid every 5 minutes, but to provide healing every second of the day.
Amen, amen. Thank you so much, and I hate that we have run out of time, but we're going to have you back because you are not a stranger to this show. So thanks so much for being a blessing, and thank you for being such an inspiration to not only myself but to my listeners, and for helping women to recognize and face and walk in their truth. Okay, so thank you so much.
You all inspire me, because if it weren't for individuals like yourself and your listeners, I wouldn't have anything to be passionate about.
Wow, thank you. Thank you. I look forward to the next time.
Okay, thank you so much.
You're welcome. Thank you. Now, before we close out the show, I want to remind all of you, if you want to become a subscriber to the show, you can visit my show page on uptomeradio.com, and that's up, the number 2, meradio.com. That's on that website. And that's also where you can access all of our past recorded podcasts. They're also available on iTunes and on the mobile app Stitcher, which is a free downloadable app on your mobile device. And all you have to do is just search for Up to Me Radio, and you'll find us. Please remember to visit my online store on my website at thereislifeafterlayoff.com to purchase a copy of one or both of my books just in time for the holidays. They make great stocking stuffers. And as always, if you wish to contact me directly, you can do so via email at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And please don't forget to connect with us on social media. You'll find me on Twitter and Instagram at AllieWard45. And you can follow Up to Me Radio on Twitter by searching for Up to Me Radio. And I'm also on Facebook under There Is Life After Layoff. And, of course, Up to Me Radio is on Facebook at Up to Me Radio. So on behalf of the There Is Life After Layoff radio team, we sincerely say thank you to each and every one of you for joining us on this journey. We do not take it for granted that you have chosen to spend this time with us, and I look forward to bringing you even more exciting guests and content. And I hope that you will continue to tune in as we strive to not only put the happy back into the holidays, but also throughout the new year for you. So until next time, we continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith past the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Happy holidays to you and yours. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself,
I'm not giving up.
No,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord, I have my faith in, even when it seems
hopeless.
then your breakthrough will begin.
Yes,
with the testimony,